In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. I'm going to begin with the most important part, at least to me, of the gospel that we have just prayed. And that is the admonition from the Lord who said, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming." Who is the master of the house? To you. Truly, who is the master of the house? It's a thing worth thinking about. We say very nice things about God, but we don't mean them for the most part. We don't. If God is our master, why don't we pray before we go to bed? And I don't mean, I don't mean that way. I mean, why don't we pray? Why don't you pray before you go to bed? When you get up in the morning, before you do anything, why don't you pray before doing anything else? If he's master, what do you think a slave does in the old days? What do you think the slave did even today? There are still slaves in the world, by the way. But the point is that you always ask of your master, what is the rule for this day? What is the rule? And going to bed, you say, you know, is everything okay? Is everything according to your wishes? You do that before you go to bed. You know, even in places where they have domestic services, where people are really rich, and the butler may come in to the owner of the mansion and say, will there be anything else? It's the way that you finish your life, and it's the way that you begin your life. And most of you are just too involved in doing anything else to do it. And it's a problem. Ambasurapian had to send a message to the priest reminding them that on Sunday, because we do many of these prayers again, it doesn't relieve you of the responsibility of saying your own prayers before you even leave your house. I have to get up. It takes me at least 15 minutes to pray the morning prayer. And I pray lickety-split, if you don't know that. I have almost everything memorized, most all the Psalms. And so it just rolls off. But it takes 15 minutes before I do anything, before I dress myself, before I run a comb through my beard. And you have to do this. Especially, remember when I was talking to the elder deacon here, and he said he's 90 years old, and I said, I don't care. I don't care if you're a baby or you are an old man. We have the same responsibility. Don't you know about the three youth that were just taken from us? How old were they? When the Lord admonishes you, warns you, and says, watch. Watch for what? Watch for your own life. Imagine you were in Africa and you were walking through the veldt, and you were having a good time looking at the fauna and the flora, and it was a nice bright day and the sun was out and the sky was blue. And would you not be looking for snakes? Would you not be looking to see if there were any tracks of wild animals? Would you not be listening to hear a sound that maybe wasn't familiar to you? What could that be? Would that be something that might harm me? Would I be, watch? But you don't watch. You don't watch. Look, there are so many things that we are required to do that will warn us. If you will watch me at the altar, I will give everybody a sign when to make the sign of the cross. But you still don't do it. I will, when we come to the patch, it says, lift up your hands. And you still don't do it. When it comes to bowing, when it comes to, you know, a prostration, when it comes to any of those kinds of things. And the deacons do this. The people sit like, oh, that's their responsibility. They have a tonia on. No, No, it's for everybody. It's for the person who has the least education. Not the most. Not the most. For the most, he has no excuse. For the least, he may have some excuse. But then there have to be people there in his life that he has been told to imitate. And we do this through imitation. One of the great spiritual books is a book by Thomas A. Kempis called Imitation of Christ. Be perfect as your Father is perfect. And it goes through all of the steps of how someone begins to really acquire the habits, the personality, the cares, the concerns of our Maker, the one who made us. So I'm beginning from the first part. Watch. I won't say this next week, by the way. So if you're listening today, you won't have to listen to this in a week. The other thing is that, you know, God made man. Most people think Adam was his name. Adam means man, and it means mankind. It includes females. Adam, the name, includes females. If you take the first or the initials of his name, A-D-A-M, it stands in Greeks for the points of the compass. Anatole, Dysis, Arctos, Semimbria. East, west, north, and south. It's not north, south, east, and west. That's what we put on our map. What's the important thing for us? Where is God going to come from? The east. The east. Where does the sun rise? The east. So, Anatole, Dysis, Arctos, Mesembria. A-D-A-M. And Adam was dispersed. Mankind went everywhere. But Jesus Christ brought man back. Or God the Father Almighty brought all men back together through the incarnation of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. There was Adam, and he was dispersed around the entire world. And in Jesus Christ, should you believe in him, and my advice is you should, he brought all back together. All became one again. When we repeatedly have communion, whoever is serving the liturgy on that day fractions the body of the Lord, and he distributes it amongst the people. It is one body, one people in Jesus Christ. One body, one people in Jesus Christ. Again, it's a reassembling. The one who made is now the one who reassembles. And we become that. This is why we don't have time for people who are too interested in the affairs of others in the church. When you are interested in the affairs of others in the church, you are a gossip. The only time you should be interested in the affairs of other people in the church is when you can help. And when you are not only capable of helping, but are going to carry through and help. Because otherwise, it's just like watching something on TV or on the radio, where you hear about something and you're curious. Oh, this person shot up a school. What was that person like? What was that person's motive? It does not matter one bit to you. It shouldn't matter one bit to you, but you listen to it. And why do you listen to it? You listen to it because you are not focused on the things that are the most important, which is the coalescing of all in Christ. To be in Christ means to be an absolute equal. It's not whether you have wealth or anything else that might give you In the case of our governor, coming from a political family, it has nothing whatsoever to do with how much education you have. But to be in the family of God means to be a child of the Most High. Therefore, as it says, the Lord lifts up the poor man from the dunghill to seat him with the princes of his people. Right? Read your Psalms. You'll know where that comes from. He lifts the poor man from the dunghill. What's the dunghill? You know what dung is? It's, well, for most of us, it's ex-food. The food that our body no longer has any value in keeping inside us, it eliminates. And we call that dung. But dung is anything that we have used up. Think of all of the things that are piled in the world. There was a series of movies that came out, Planet of the Apes. And one of the things they discovered was that over time, the overgrowth had taken care of all of the cities. And the apes didn't really question where all these cities came from. They didn't question about the abilities of people to build things with steel and concrete and to put them in places that had a sort of regularity. No, they just saw dung. It was of no value to the apes. They had trees. They lived in trees. Some of them lived in caves. But they had no value for the things that were left behind. What about all of the stuff that's left behind from all of the great cultures of the world? It's dung. People dig down into the ground. It's dead stuff. It's detritus. It's nothing. It's just a matter of curiosity. I'm curious about that. How did the people of Pompeii, there's a new excavation in Pompeii. You know where the people who were trapped by the volcanic eruption of Vesuvius in Italy? And you have so many bodies that were overtaken by ash, and they were completely, almost calcified. And we see all of the implements that they lived with and used. And so I go to Costco, right? I go to Costco. Is that going to be a part of my vocabulary? Maybe in 10,000 years, let's say something happens to me and I become great. That's a far stretch. But let's just say something great happens to me and I am noteworthy. And 10,000 years from now, people are going to want to learn about how I lived. Oh, yeah. Did you know he went to Costco? Do you know how idiotic that is? But we have people that will go to school and will get 10 years of education in order to study archaeology and to go on these digs and then to stand before cameras and say, look, here's a piece of pottery. They used this pottery. Some think they put seeds in this pottery. Oh, some think they put oil in this pottery. Who cares? Who cares? And for what? What is dung? It is that which is no longer useful. It's no longer useful. You want a pyramid? You know the old joke about the guy from Upper Egypt, the Saidi guy who came into Alexandria and he said, hey, you want to buy this bridge? You can make a lot of money charging people to walk across this bridge. And so the guy sold him the rights to the bridge. Then when he found out later that nobody would obey the fact that he was claiming that he had ownership of the bridge and he didn't get any money back, he was really miffed. But you see, this is the kind of guy that is always in life. He's trying to think of a way in which he can enrich himself through something that doesn't have any meaning to anyone else but him. If I own the bridge, so what do I own? You know? Suppose I tell this guy, who happens to be 6'6", 300 pounds, hey, get off my bridge. So he hits me in the head and I die. And he walks along the bridge. Not bad. But we sell ourselves to all of this stuff that's going to turn to nothing. Where's your grandfather's couch? Where's your grandfather's chair? Where's your grandfather's bed? Where's all your grandfather's stuff? Your grandfather. I have a cane. I have a cane. And apparently, all the men in my family were the same size. That's kind of sad. But my grandfather, my father, and me, the cane still works. I haven't had to use it yet, but I've got it. But think about that. That's all I have. I don't have anything from my father except a few memories. It's all done. Remember this. Now, I'm going to go into the symbolism of everything that was talked about in this next week. But I just want you to concentrate on these things that I've just said. Number one, watch. Watch, and when you are watching, absorb, memorize. Don't be a person who sees something and then forgets about it. You've had the experience, but you've missed the meaning. If you have the experience and miss the meaning, it's like you were never there at all. It's like you had been drugged. Watch. Why is this guy doing it and I'm not? Ask yourself that. Why is this thing taking place? You hear about the lives of the ascetics in the Cynaxar every single week. Does it have an impact? It's just a curiosity. It's just like People magazine, except in this, our People magazine, it's about a bunch of guys that died really skinny and starving, or tortured, or, you know, something bad happened to them because they happened to love Jesus. But it's People magazine for us. If we don't learn anything from it, and I don't mean by just being able to recite the story, but if we don't actually do something. So I ask you, please, please, the Lord Jesus Christ said clearly, you don't know when the Master is coming. You don't know he's coming during the day, during the afternoon, during the evening, in the middle of the night, you don't know. So watch. This is why the Jesus prayer was taught us. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So many people have memorized this and have said it to the extent that they pray it inside themselves. There is a great book about this called The Monk of Mount Athos by Archimandrite Sofrani. The Way of the Pilgrim is another text that has to do just with this. Also, if you learn anything about hesychism, the hesychasts are those who sit and they meditate on this prayer day and night. This is a part of our church. This is like, oh, you know, I don't want to know what's going on at Caltech or MIT because I'm not interested in engineering. I don't want to know what's going on at Columbia or NYU or Harvard because, you know, those guys are just eggheads anyway. No. It's really important. It's really important. This is the kind of thing where you stick your nose into a book and you allow that book to wash over you like you let the water that comes out of the shower wash over you. To cleanse you, to refresh you, and to let you start whole again. Huh? Keep these things in mind. Because, you know, we sometimes talk about the end of days. My end of days is coming soon. How long am I gonna live? I'm gonna be 79 on my birthday. How much longer am I gonna live? You know, one more year and a few months and I've lived the same length of time as my father of confession, Abuna Loa Cedros. He passed away 5 years ago on August 26th. He's no longer here. Abuna Antonio Sanin, he didn't last very long at all. Abuna Bishoy Camel, he didn't last even that long. Saint Bishoy Camel, I should correct myself. How long are we going to live? This is my last day. Perhaps. You know, when I wake up in the morning, and I'll tell you this because it would be good if you imitated me. Before I put my foot on the floor, I say, this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I try to get my mind, because I wake up most of the time in pain. And that causes me to get really cranky sometimes, really, really cranky. But I try, and this is the grace of our God. If you are just trying, you don't have to be perfect. You just have to try. If you will try, the Lord will make up the deficit. But if you're just lazy, a life spent in pleasures deserves condemnation. That's what it says when we pray in the first hour of the Agbeya. A life spent in pleasures deserves condemnation. So, watch, watch. And when you see, imitate. You know, there's a great meditation on the book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 7. The Jews have this. It's not translated in English in this way at all, but the Jews translated, and it's from Hebrew, of course, we will do and we will understand. Now think about that. For you, it's the opposite, for most of you. For almost all the people that were born in America. No, why am I going to do this? Why do I have to do this? Why? Give me the answer to the why before I raise my finger. And the Jews said, no, we will do. By doing, you will understand. How many times in the Bastano Rabban have you found a monk telling a younger monk, if you don't understand what I'm doing by watching me, you will never understand by me telling you. Watch. Have you ever seen an old Teta? She doesn't even know why she's doing what she's doing, but she's making something. And the young girls are around her, and they're just jabbering away. And she's just doing it. Not talking. Maybe she's making bread. You know, she may be making anything. It's not always that we have to take in something through our ears. We have to take in something through our eyes. And this is why the Lord said, watch. Glory be to his holy name, both now and ever, into the age of all ages. Amen.